Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Hi, I'm Connie Whitman, your host, and you're listening to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. I am always excited to have you listen in on the show weekly. My motivational quote, you guys know the routine, is actually kind of funny today. It's by happyluckydog.com, and the quote says, "Dogs are like music. Never try to explain their worth to those who cannot appreciate them." All right, so how many of you have a dog as a family member of your household? You probably count them on your taxes. How many of you see leadership qualities in your dog? Are you thinking, okay, she's totally lost her mind today? Dog and leadership, what the heck do the two of them have in common? Well, grab your dog, settle in as you listen to my amazing guest, Dan Barr, and his amazing insight. In their work, Dan and Chrissy, husband and wife team, they have a new book called The Fido Factor, How to Get a Leg Up at Work. Chrissy and Dan Barr focus on a model of leadership that nearly everybody can relate to, and lots of people consider a family member or their best friend. You guessed it, dogs. Grounded in Chrissy's expertise as a leadership coach and Dan's years of experience as a business exec, The Fido Factor is a solid, practical guide to effective business leadership that happens to have a dog as a theme. Why dogs? Besides the fact that Barrs count themselves among the ASPCA's estimated 44% of U.S. households with at least one dog, they are quoted saying, "Dogs have proven leadership genius. They're naturals at exhibiting the traits needed to be leader of the pack." Dan, my guest today, is the Chief Operating Officer of Barrs Corporate Success, a consultant specializing in strategic planning, executive coaching, and behavioral assessments. The Barrs live in Cincinnati with their two dogs, Kaiser and Clover. So Dan, thanks so much for coming on the show and discussing this very cool topic.
Hi, Connie. So good to be with you.
All right. So Dan, I know everybody's listening saying dog and leadership, this guy's out of his mind. So let's jump in so we can kind of start to demystify that truly dogs have great leadership qualities. So dogs are about 78 million of them. They all have a special place in the homes and hearts, of course, of Americans, including your home. You're with your two dogs. What makes these cherished pets so outstanding examples of leadership qualities?
Well, Connie, there are so many reasons why dogs are great at helping us to become better leaders. I think it goes back to why people love dogs so much. Dogs are faithful, they're inspirational, they're determined, they're loyal, and they show how they feel to their family members at every opportunity. And that's part of why they've been, you know, part of human relationships for tens of thousands of years. And we a few years ago said, let's write another book. It's our second book together. And Chrissy's idea was, let's write it about dogs. And I thought, I'm not so sure there's an idea there. It seems a little crazy. But the truth is that once we really started thinking about it, there just these connections between the way that dogs behave and why we love them and the way great leaders behave. And as we put these ideas together and spent a lot of months working on it, I came to the conclusion that it's actually a really good idea. And sometimes the best ideas are the ones that are a little out there, a little crazy. You know, there was a musical that you might have heard of called Hamilton about Alexander Hamilton, and it's hip-hop version of Alexander Hamilton. That, when I heard that, I thought, that is just the craziest idea of all time. And then you see the play and you go, that's the greatest thing I've ever seen. So I'm not sure that this is going to be the next Hamilton, but The Fido Factor is along that same line, where we're trying to make it fun and interesting and approachable, and yet the ideas that are there are so real and true. And I think it'll be, I think it's a fun read. And we tried to make it that way.
And you know what's so funny, Dan, that I agree with you. I think we take ourselves so darn seriously, and we make Okay, like the leadership process in a company, right? We make it so complex that it's just impossible to say, wait, what am I supposed to do now? Whereas, and we're going to talk about the four key leadership combinations, if you will, that you guys talk about in the Phytofactor. But when you keep it simple and you make it something fun that people can visually relate to, again, because, right, there's 78 million, I think was the statistic of how many dogs are in the United States. I think people can relate to that. So again, in the Phytofactor, you guys, you and Chrissy focus on four traits for all business leaders that should really be a focus of development. And how did you come to identify the ideal leader as the combination of the faithful, inspirational, determined, and observant? So how did you guys come to that?
Well, we started off by saying, okay, let's explore this idea. Is there really something there between dogs and great leaders? And so we started making a list of all the traits that we could think of, everything that dogs do, the good things, right? There's some things that you don't really want to imitate from dogs, but all the good traits, let's put them down and then start looking for themes, looking for ways to organize that into something that is memorable. And as we went through and started doing this, we said, okay, dogs are faithful and dogs are inspirational. They're determined and they're observant. And those four words spell out Fido. It also spells Difo, but Difo was not a famous dog name. So we went with Fido as the name. So it's memorable and it really encapsulates the four critical themes that we learn from dogs about leadership.
And it's funny. Do you know the commercial on TV, the word observant, I just love. It's, I want to say it's a Subaru commercial, right? And it's about falling in love with your car. And the young man and the young woman, the dog goes between them, kind of looks at him, stares him down and not in a good way. Then they go on this camping trip and the man takes the coat and puts it over the young lady's shoulders as if to protect her and keep her warm. And the dog is just sitting there kind of observing the whole thing, and then quietly the dog gets up, comes between them, but this time he lays his head on the lap of the gentleman. And it's,
I love that.
Yes, do you know which one?
I know exactly the one. It just almost makes me I just want to stand up and applaud when I see that, because first of all, I love dogs, but it is so true that once a dog comes to trust you, you turn that corner. And it's a whole new relationship. And that's why, you know, we just briefly mentioned the four different Fido factors: faithful, inspirational, determined, and observant. And faithful is the one that I think a lot of people would have forgotten about, because it's easy to go, well, of course you want to be inspirational, right? Great leaders inspire their people and they're determined to succeed. But I think the foundation of leadership comes from being faithful, and the essence of being faithful is you have to earn the trust. And if people don't believe that you really care about them, and you put what's good for the team ahead of what's good for you personally, the leader, you're not going to have as successful of a company. And there have been studies that show that companies that have a workforce that's made up of people who have a high level of trust in management, those shareholders earn three times as much as the average shareholder. So there's not only – it's good for the people. It's good for everybody. It's good for your customers. But it's also good financially, that people just feel like they can trust what's going on in the company, and more gets done and the right things get done. So it's way better.
And it's interesting, because I agree with you, and I think I don't know when or how it changed, or maybe it was always this way, Dan. I'm not sure. But when I'm in some corporations, the way superiors speak to their direct reports, it makes me stop and pause and think, did I just hear that correctly? So how can people be loyal and trust you when clearly sometimes senior managers or a manager has their own ambition or their own agenda? And I agree with you. It's funny that you used faithful as the first one, because dogs are so faithful, right? They love us unconditionally. There's never, well, maybe they're mad when you come home and you've left them, you know, someone else was babysitting for them kind of thing, or dog sitting, but that faithful is there. They are man's best friend. So I don't know where we went wrong. Do you want to comment on that? Just because it throws me every time I hear it or see it.
Yeah. When you see, it's a personal failing for some people if they put their own best interest ahead of their team.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, that person may succeed in the short run, but they will never reach the highest rungs of that company or their industry, or they will not be viewed as great people by most people, because that's a failing of theirs. And the people who put everyone around them ahead of that individual, those are the companies and those are the people that go the highest. And it's that, you know, leading from behind idea, where on one hand, it doesn't make sense. You think, wait, I'm going to work, I'm trying to succeed for myself, for my family, so I should try and put myself first, right? No, if you put others first, like your dog does, you have a greater chance of winning passionate, loyal fans on your team who will do anything for you. And that's the difference. When people are just going to work and they feel like, it's just a job, I'm just getting a paycheck, that company, that division, that branch, whatever it is, it's not going to succeed anywhere close to the way an organization will when people are really engaged, and that engagement doesn't happen by accident. It happens because you have great leaders. And this, you know, the final factor is about leadership. And some of these things are obvious, some of these ideas are easy, and some are very hard.
Yeah.
And for each person, it's individual. Some people are great at being faithful, and they need to work at being more determined. Or they need to be more observant or more inspirational. But the idea behind this is, let's try and make this like a gummy vitamin. It's something that is really good for you, but it's because of the dogs, it's fun. It's you want to take it, you want to bring it in and do it again the next day because it works and you feel good about it.
And I think, Dan, also it's easy when we look at those four key things: faithful, inspirational, determined, and observant. As a leader, if I'm trying to change my behavior, because changing behaviors is clearly difficult, especially if something isn't natural to me, that it's just four key things to kind of focus on. Now, how can leaders demonstrate and instill loyalty in, you know, I feel like our industries or corporate America is changing so quickly. The competition is, you know, worldwide now. How do they create loyalty within their organization?
Well, there are a lot of things you have to do. You have to, you know, number one, as we said, put your team ahead of your own interest.
Mm-hmm.
And things like promoting from within.
Mm-hmm.
Even little things like buying office furniture and doing capital improvements for the physical plant. Awards and recognition. People love that. It's enormously important. So you have to just go out of your way to demonstrate that you want to, you care more about your team than you do about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when that change, that people go, this is not like other jobs I've had. This is not a place where it's all about the guy in the corner office or the gal in the corner office. It's about a team. It's about all of us winning together. And when you can just do those little things that demonstrate that that's what you're all about, get to know people. Just, you know, some business owners are great at sitting down in the lunchroom and having a conversation with whoever's there. I've worked for companies like that where very, very big companies, and the top guy came down, and that's what he would do every day. And it just makes such a difference in the way people feel about going to work and what they do in their smaller piece of the big picture. But when you can get people engaged and connect with them on a personal level, Everything changes.
And you know what? I'll date myself, right? I'm 56. And, you know, in our day, you didn't leave a job less than 5 years to try to move up or you know, improve your position, whatever it was, income, et cetera. So you stayed 5 years. That was kind of the magic number. Now, right. Millennials, they're changing at a much more rapid rate, and they are looking for that community, that engagement within organizations. And I know the companies that I work within, and, you know, I teach coaching, and a lot of the new employees, right, are new hires. And, you know, I hear about all the millennials, and I think to myself, what about them? They're amazing. They're brilliant with technology. Do they have, and I'm not going to say they have a different work ethic. I don't know if it's good or bad. It's just different from, I know how I was, but when I was coming through the ranks, but they demand community. They are more demanding of getting respect. And if we don't turn a corner, I think soon in corporate America, we're throwing so much money away at bringing people in, training them, right? Giving them benefits. And then boom, they're mm-hmm. out the door to a better organization who does create this community and understand millennials and all these other things. And let me just footnote that, Dan. Yes, you have to understand millennials, but you still have to understand and thrive within the baby boomer and the Gen Ys, the M1s in between, because the baby boomers are still a huge part of the working population, too. I think everybody wants loyalty and respect. I don't care what the age is, right?
It's so true. And I'm of the same generation as you. And it's if you can build an engaged workforce, get your team around you engaged, your company, your business will do so much better mm-hmm. than if you can't. And so the struggle is always, how do you do that? And, you know, they're great managers and they get things done, but great leaders get things done through people, and people yeah. feel great about it. And they feel involved. They feel like they're part of a community. And when you can get people to have best friends at work, they're 7 times more likely to feel engaged at work. And right now, only 1 out of 3 workers in America feels like they're engaged in what they do at work. So there's a huge gap between going to your job and just going through the motions, and the people who feel like, wow, we're changing the world. Let's do it. I can't wait to get to work. So you have to try and find ways to do that. And I think that's what great leaders do. And certainly dogs do that. And we tried to, you know, tap into that to, you know, when you get home from work, you're going to play with your dog. You're going to engage with your dog, and your dog is fully present. They are there with you, and they're so excited about it. And that's the kind of behavior that, if you can exhibit more of that, it will pay off enormously in terms of how engaged your team is at work.
Absolutely. And I just, we're going to take a quick break, but basically the statistic is, so 1 out of 3, so 30%, in essence, 33% of our population feels engaged, and approximately 70% are disengaged. And I think that's just a sad commentary for what's happening in our corporations, and something needs to change. And maybe it's the FIDO factor, Dan.
I hope so too.
Can we make it any easier than this, right? For our leaders across the world. Let's take That's a right. really quick break. And then when we come back, I want to talk about being open with employees, and how do we be open without being vulnerable or showing weakness. So let's take a break, and then we'll talk about that.
It's a shame when you're feeling stuck in your business and you feel like you have nowhere to turn. It's a shame when you slog through long days in your business and you don't get any return. It's a shame when you feel like you can't see the forest for the trees and your business brings you to your knees. Einstein said repeating the same actions over and over won't produce different results. So stop feeling ashamed. Your business and you deserve better. Change that shame into righteous fame. Connie Whitman can tame that shame. Connie Whitman of Whitman Associates will help you to discover your new path, and nothing will ever be the same. Connie's tried and true one-on-one coaching sessions will tame that shame, so you and your business will not continue in vain. Call Connie Whitman of Whitman Associates today at 732-888-1420. That's 732-888-1420. Or email Connie at WhitmanAssociates.com. Call Connie. Turn that shame into your game.
We are back. We are speaking with Dan Barr, and we're talking about the book he and his wife Chrissy wrote, The Phytofactor, and the little footnote to that is it's The Phytofactor, How to Get a Leg Up, which I love that too, by the way, Dan, How to Get a Leg Up at Work. And it's really a mantra or a framework for people to become better leader, have better leadership skills in an easy way, right? Through these, The Phytofactor, the faithful, inspirational, determined, and observant. So now, I know you guys, you and Chrissy, encourage leaders to openly express caring for colleagues and to share their own vulnerability appropriately. Do you think, or do you find that folks you consult with feel there's a danger that showing emotion in the workplace will make them actually look weak?
It's a great question, Connie. I think the key is showing positive emotions, not the negative ones. Those are the ones that can be detrimental. And I think when people show the positive emotions, you know, like an employee comes in and they just landed a new account, an owner, a leader that comes up and goes, high five, way to go, that's awesome. Anyone who does that, it makes that person feel so good. They feel like, I need to go back tomorrow and do the same thing because that was so great when my boss said I did a great job. So giving that kind of positive reinforcement is not natural for some people. For some, it's just a second nature. But great leaders are inspirational. That's one of the four phytofactors, and it is incredibly important to do that whenever they can. I think the negative aspect is if you open up too much and you show all of your negative emotions, mm-hmm. something goes wrong and you feel like it's not going great, you don't want to stand up in the middle of the office and go, hey, I'm really mad about this. That's not good. So you want to guard, you know, some of the negative emotions, but let the positive emotions, you know, let them fly in the breeze, because it is so important for people to feel that they're valuable and you're noticing what they're doing and thanking them for their good work.
It's amazing. I was, as you were sharing, high-fiving, you know, you bring in this big account. And I remember I was young. I was fresh into sales in my 20s. I was selling insurance and for Prudential. And mm-hmm. I came in and I had, the night before, I had sold $1 million life policy. Now,
nice.
Yes, exactly, right? This is not an everyday occurrence by any means. Business owner, you know, really got to know the husband and wife, and I sell this $1 million policy, and I come in, and when I'm flying, man, I'm young, right? What do I know? I like them. They liked me. I'm like, woohoo, big sale. And I come in, and this is my sales manager said to me, oh, good job. Why didn't you sell 2 million?
it's that. I mean, that's the kind of thing where that, you know, I would hope that someone like that, someone who thinks, well, that's how I would have reacted. This is why you should look to a dog and say, what can I learn from them? Is that what a dog's going to do? When you walk in the door, is your dog going to look at you and go, hey, how's it going? Yeah. No, they're going to jump up, twirl around, bark, and jump in the air. They're so excited to see you. And if you walk in and you've got a hamburger in your hand and you just walked in the house, they're even doubly excited. So you just need to, you know, let it all hang out and let people know how excited you are. Because the people for whom it's not as natural to show that kind of emotion, they just need to think about it and just be aware that they need to push themselves to do more of that. They're never going to be the most open and outgoing person of anyone they've ever met. That's not how it works. All you can do is just take what you have, take who you are, and work at those things that you need to work at, the things that are your deficiencies, if you will.
Yeah, and you and I clearly have a higher energy, and we would be high-fiving and woohoo and all of that. If this person did have a high energy, but even if he didn't, and I came in and I said, all right, I sold my first $1 million policy. I'm really proud of I'm getting this, right? I'm getting better and better at my skill mm-hmm. development. And if he would have said, I'm really proud of you. You know, I see how hard you work, like very calmly, he could have said that. I would have been on the moon, you know, instead of this, you know, why wasn't it more, right? That it's never satisfactory, hard to work for people like that. Now, the phrase work like a dog, you know, it's a phrase I think that humans that we use to complain about working too hard. I know you and Chrissy take issue with it. And what can leaders learn from dogs when it comes to the diligence versus I'm working like a dog?
Yeah, it's one of those things that we thought about, and it occurred to us that people who work hard tend to succeed at a much higher rate than people who don't. Right? I mean, it's if you're out there busting it every day, working as hard as you can, you know, breaks come to you when you work that
Absolutely.
Hard, you put in that much effort.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who say, "Nah, it's 5:01, I am out of here." That may be, you know, fulfilling the minimum that you have to do, but working like a dog somehow got a bad reputation. I think there's a lot we can learn about effort from dogs, and if we just put in more effort, more determination, it's amazing how good things happen. So that's really to me the main point with working like a dog. You don't really want to work you know, every single hour of every day and on weekends and at night. That's working too much, and you can't do that. You need that downtime where you can recharge your batteries, but it is so important to give everything you've got when the bell rings and the light goes on and you're at work, you're doing your thing. Just do it with everything you have and good things will happen.
Yeah, and it's funny. I do work hard. I've always worked hard. It's my nature, how I was raised. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I like to work. I feel good when I work. I feel fulfilled. And like my family laughs because they know I work 7 days a week. But see, that's never a complaint when I say that, oh yeah, I work 7 days a week. I work 7 days a week because number one, I choose to do that because if I want to write an article, I'm like, oh, I really got to get it out. It's in my head. I need to write it. I get excited to sit and write an article for one of my blogs, right? So it's not work. Mm-hmm. It's thrilling for me. And the other thing that I don't mind working 7 days a week, like I put in a full day yesterday, because the weekend before and that Friday before, we went to my son. He's a freshman at University of Delaware, and we did the parents' mm-hmm. weekend thing. So
yeah.
I took time off so that I could be present and fully engaged with this weekend, seeing him and his environment at college and how happy he is and meeting his friends and all of that. I didn't think about work once because I scheduled
yeah.
my time so that I know when I need to work 7 days a week, I do. So when I need to take 3 or 4 days a week at random to do something like that. Oh yeah, I can because I'm up to date because I put my time in and I balance my schedule. So I think that's another thing. People, I've never said, Dan, in my entire life, I'm working like a dog. I've never said that because I truly love what I do and I hope I inspire others to work hard. So interesting how we use these phrases. We need to start to think what those phrases really mean. My last question, because we're almost out of time. Did you and Chrissy learn anything unexpected about business leadership, maybe of your own leadership habits? Because you were an executive, Dan, right? So did you learn anything during the process of writing the Fido Factor? And what would be your takeaway for most readers, again, through your experience of writing it and as a leader in your industry?
You know, when we had outlined the four Fido Factors, faithful, inspirational, determined, and observant. I initially thought observant, that's kind of the weakest one, right? It's that's not really as strong of a attribute for leadership. And the more I got into it, the more I realized it may be the most important one because we live in an age right now where there's so much information. Things mm-hmm. come at us 24/7 on our phone, email, TV, radio, everywhere. And the great leaders, they listen to the right things, they focus on the right sources of information, they ask great questions, they really are in the moment, and then they assimilate all these ideas and they turn it into meaningful thoughts and directions. Because great leaders, the idea of leadership, it has to take people in a certain direction. Mm-hmm. And you better hope that it's the right direction. And if they're taking you in the wrong direction, let's go make buggy whips. No, that's not the right direction. You know, cars, and how about flying cars? How about something on the internet? But you've got to have people who take in all the information and then go in the right direction, and they use it well. So I think being observant and listening and being more self-aware, that was one of the things that I came away with thinking about, that it just struck me as something that people, skate over very quickly and think, I read enough, or I listen to things. I think there's so much multitasking going on. People are in meetings, not great leaders, but many people will sit there in a meeting and someone's talking and they're on their phone looking at things. And sometimes that's critical. Sometimes you have to do that. But there's a stat that people check their phone 221 times a day. Mm-hmm. And if that's a year old, then it's now 300 times a day, right? It's so common for people to do that. So information is just bombarding us. We have to be disciplined and focus on the things that matter most and pull it all together into the right ideas that will take your team into the future that you want. So that to me was the thing I learned. And I think the biggest takeaway is that there are some really great ideas that we can learn from dogs. And, if you're not the lead dog, the view never changes. So you want to get out in the front and be the best leader you can. And I think by reading The Fido Factor, getting a few laughs out of it as well, I think you will, the odds are very good. You'll be a better leader.
And it's interesting because I do think it's such a simple concept, because I don't think leadership is a simple concept. I think it's hard because we have to self-assess, look within and say, I kind of need to work on this or that to be able to inspire and lead and create that faithful group of in my team. Mm-hmm. I think that The Fido Factor is like a must read for anybody who's a leader and has a team that works with them, and the whole team should read it, because I think it gives a different perspective for each player on the team. The other thing I like about being observant is it absolutely helps us focus on the correct direction to take the organization, if you are the CEO, let's say, or mm-hmm. if you have a team, to make your team productive to, again, follow the strategic plan of the organization. But I think we need to be observant also of our team, so that we can be aware of where their deficits are, so that we as leaders can help them learn and grow through coaching or whatever other means, send them to training, have them read books, have them listen to audio books, whatever it might be. But I think through observation, we create coaching opportunities, which can create more empowered team members. And the other thing you said, which I giggled to myself, I had this conversation with a client this morning. We really don't listen. We certainly mm-hmm. take turns talking at each other, but
oh, yeah.
we really don't listen and process what others are saying to us. That when you're not listening and truly understanding where the person is coming from, that's where misinformation or misdirection happens. So I agree. I think observation is such an important skill, but we're always moving so fast. And you mentioned on our phones, which is just a disgusting addiction, in my opinion. Put the freaking yeah. phone down and look people in the eye and have a true connection and communication. We're losing that human factor, which is sad for me. And that's another thing I love, Dan, about the book, is dogs don't ever lose that connection of dog to man. They're Mm-mm. always present in that relationship. And I just think we've lost that. We're not so good at that anymore. It's kind of tragic.
It's so true. And, and I know you know this, when it comes to communications, only 8% of all the communication is from the actual words we say. Mm-hmm. The most important thing is our body language. Mm-hmm. And then the second most important thing is our tone of voice. Mm-hmm. And then third are the words. So dogs, they have a vocabulary of 50 to 200 words. They don't know many words, but they are great at listening. They can watch us and listen to us and they know exactly what's going on, right? If there's an argument, people are mad, people are happy, they can tell. And it's because they're looking at the body language, they're looking at the tone of voice, and the really great leaders do the same thing because there are so many clues, whether it's someone on your team within the company or it's a customer. If they're saying something and you're really watching and listening and paying attention, there are clues there, and great leaders, you know, probe that and ask more questions and show that they really care about the person they're sitting across from, just like your dog does. So it's critical to focus on trying to become a better listener, become a better question asker, and really pay attention to all the signals that are going on in front of you.
It's true. You'll see an amazing amount of things, and if you listen, you'll hear amazing amount of things. You really understand what people are saying. I couldn't agree more. Hey guys, if you would like, our time is up, Dan. So if folks would like more Dan and more Phytofactor, I highly recommend you go to their website, and it's the website is www.chrissybarr.com, and Chrissy is K-R-I-S-S-I. And then BARR.com. Or you can go to the book, if that's what resonates with you, which is the website www.thephytofactor.com. I will post both on the Web Talk Radio Enlightenment of Change website, so everybody will be able to find it easy peasy. Again, ChrissyBarr.com or thephytofactor.com to get more information. Also, if you need to reach me or you want to share your stories to inspire us, I promise I will share that on the show as well. You can reach me directly at Connie@WhitmanAssoc.com. I do look forward to hearing from you guys. Dan, thank you again for coming on and just sharing a fun topic. I hope we surprised some people, and then I hope we pulled it together so they're kind of scratching their head going, oh, this makes so much sense. So thank you so much, and I hope everybody goes out and buys the book, and I do think all teams should read the book. Thank you. Yes.
Connie, thank you so much. I really have enjoyed it, and best of luck to you as well.
Yeah, thank you so much. I hope you guys will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together how to grow and challenge ourselves so we all embrace change, whatever that means to you, and realize that change is possible in many aspects of our life and usually easier than we think. Thanks again, Dan, for being my awesome guest and for sharing such a cool topic today.
Thank you, Connie.
My pleasure. And thank you all for joining me. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. Thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful and have a phyto-filled week. Be well.
You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. To learn more about Connie, visit her website, WhitmanASSOC.com. Thank you for tuning in. We're glad you were here.